Well, it's good to be with you all again. Facebook friends, YouTube. I'm very excited to be with you again. And the last time I was with you guys, I was talking about God's Rhema word. And I hope to continue on that today. I was very, very excited to teach on it the last time. And in the flyer that we used to advertise this program, we made a note that God, one word from God can turn your life around. And that's all you need. One word from God can turn your life around. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today, the Rhema word of God. Rhema simply is just a Greek word for the spoken word. But it means much more than the spoken word. It's God's specific word for a specific person in a specific situation. So I'm going to be talking about that for a while. And let me read from Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 38. And it came to pass as they went that he, that is Jesus Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? And bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things." So, you know, the culture in which Jesus Christ lived, when you mention somebody's name twice, it was like it's like grabbing them by the shoulders and shaking them and calling their attention. Listen to me and pay attention to me. That's the meaning of that word, Martha, Martha. That's the, when you repeat somebody, when you say Martha, Martha, that's like calling somebody whose attention has slipped off and grabbing them by the shoulders and shaking them and calling them back to what is really happening. So that was what Jesus Christ was doing to Martha. But he was doing it with his words. You see, Martha had lost focus completely on the gravity of the moment. The Bible says she was worried about much serving. And here's an interesting thing. Martha must have been a champion warrior because she was worrying about Jesus Christ. You know, she was worrying about Christ. I mean, you've got to be somebody who is really, really, really given to so much worry for you to be worrying about the presence of Jesus. And that was a problem. She was losing the importance of the moment. Her worries and her anxieties were causing her to lose the importance of the moment. I like this translation that says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." And so that was what was happening right there. Martha was losing the gravity of the moment. Jesus Christ was present in that house and was speaking to them. But because of worry and anxiety, she was losing focus. She was becoming, she was losing the importance of the presence of Jesus and what Jesus was saying at that moment. And so Jesus Christ had to grab her with his words, shake her and call her back to the reality. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." And so that was a problem. But here's what Jesus Christ said to her that I want you to see. Jesus Christ said, he said, "You're worried about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary had chosen the better part." He said, here's the interesting thing. She said, "You're worried about many things, but there's only one." The literal translation says, "You really have only one need." Only one need. She was worried about so many stuff. But Jesus Christ simplified it. And if you're in a situation where life is really complicated and all messed up and you don't know where to start, here is Jesus Christ. He's made it very, very simple for you. He said, "One thing is needful." I mean, Jesus Christ reduced all her problem to just one. That's interesting. I mean, that would be a great life if all of us had just one issue to deal with in life. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He reduced all the problem that this woman was facing and said, of all the problem, you have worried about so many things, but I'll reduce all your problem and simplify all your issues to just one thing. And he said, Martha and Mary has chosen the better part, which shall not be taken away from her. So what he was talking about, he was reducing Martha's problem to one need. He said, you really have only one need. And that's what Martha, that's what Mary has chosen. And so when we look at it, we have so many problems in life. We have issues of clothing, issues of financial issues, health issues. And it's interesting to see Jesus Christ compress everything to just one issue. Why? Because everything else has been taken care of in this one issue. And that was what Jesus Christ was doing. He was speaking his word at that particular moment. He was dealing with that need that was most important at that particular moment. And that was the need to hear God's word concerning what was going. God's Rhema word. Because that's the word that unlocks the provision for whatever problems that you're going through. It's the word of God. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying to Martha. If you tap into God's spoken word, if you tap into God's Rhema word, it will unlock the solution to the problems. It will unlock the solution to the worry and the anxiety and whatever it is that you're going through. If you can tap into the word of God, if you can tap into God's spoken word will then unlock the answer to whatever issue that you're going through. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying. He said, you have only one need, really. And that need is the need to hear God's word. And Martha was losing. Let me go over it again. Jesus Christ came to Martha and got a hold of her. I mean, he said, Martha, Martha. And like I said, in the culture in which Jesus Christ lived, when you call somebody's name twice, it's like grabbing them by the shoulder and shaking them and calling their attention to yourself and trying to grab their attention. In other words, you are losing the focus. You are losing your attention. I need your focus to be upon me. I need your attention to be upon me. And if you lose the importance of the moment, you are going to lose out on God's best for you. So that was what Jesus Christ was telling Martha. He said, if you lose your focus, I want your focus on me. I want your focus on what I'm saying. And if you lose the importance of what I'm saying, if you lose your focus that is supposed to be on me, then you are in danger of losing God's best in life. That's what he was telling Martha. That's why he said, Mary has chosen the better part or the good part. In other words, Mary was having an approach to life that will guarantee her God's best in life. But here is an interesting thing again that I want you to see. Jesus Christ said, Mary has chosen the better part. So what about Martha? Did she make any choice? Martha was living her life by failing to choose to listen to God's word, by failing to choose to listen to the most important thing that was happening at that time, which is the word of God. By default, she was allowing her life to be run by circumstances and the issues of life. That's what Jesus was saying. Many of us live our lives in default. You know, we allow life and circumstances to make the choices for us rather than making the choices ourselves. And so that's the contrast that Jesus Christ was making between Martha and Mary. Jesus was speaking, and Mary chose to sit down at the feet of Jesus Christ and hear what Jesus Christ was saying. So she chose the better part or the best. And she chose an approach to life that put the word of God first, that put God's word first. And that approach will guarantee her the best in life. Mary, on the other hand, did not make that choice. She was living her life in default mode. And when we live our life in default mode, rather than making the choices, circumstances of life make the choices for us. That was what was happening to Mary. Mary had chosen God's best by listening to God's word at that particular time. Martha, on the other hand, by not choosing God's best, by not choosing to listen to God's word, was now living her life in default mode, where circumstances of life, problems of life, issues of life were running her life, where they were making the decisions for her. So if we don't make, there are certain choices we have to make in life. If we don't make those choices, life and other people will make those choices for us. So that was what was happening to Martha. And that's why Jesus Christ said, "Martha, Martha," it's like grabbing her by the shoulders, shaking her and calling her attention to what was most important, hearing God's word. You see, it's hearing the word of God that unlocks the provisions for whatever it is that we're going through. So now let me read another scripture here in Luke 11. From verse 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" So we call this popularly the Lord's Prayer, even though Jesus Christ himself did not pray this prayer, because he couldn't have prayed this prayer, because if he did, he would have called himself a sinner, because he said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us." So it wasn't really the Lord's Prayer. It was the disciples' prayer. Jesus Christ gave them this prayer to move from the old covenant into the new covenant. It was a transition prayer. So we call it the Lord's Prayer, but in reality, it's the disciples' prayer. But here is something I want you to see. Even though it's the disciples' prayer, it has principles in it that can govern our own prayer life. Here is what Jesus said in verse 3. He said, "Give us day by day our bread, give us day by day our daily bread." But that doesn't it doesn't really capture it the way it should be when he says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." If you look at it in the literal translation, it says, "Give us day by day our bread for tomorrow." So this scripture is loaded. It says, "Give us day by day our bread for tomorrow." So the word that Jesus used here is a very interesting word. It's like the word for a mother who is able to calculate the needs of her child for the next, into the future. The mother looks into the child and is able to look into what the child is going to need for the child's entire lifetime. Then the mother goes into the market and then shops for all the needs. I mean, is able to look into the child's life for the entire lifetime of this child. And then the mother goes into the shops and then shops for every single thing this child is going to need for the lifetime and stores them away. You see, stores them away. And now the child is going to get these supplies day by day as the needs arise. That's the meaning of this scripture. Give us day by day our daily bread. Actually, the literal translation says, "Give us day by day our bread for tomorrow." In other words, God has gone into the future right ahead of us. He's gone into your future and he's seen everything you're going to ever need throughout your lifetime, and he's gone shopping for it and has everything loaded up somewhere, in some storehouse somewhere. Now he's going to dispense it to you day by day as the need arises. That's the meaning of this scripture. Give us day by day our bread for tomorrow. So you are talking to God, you are praying to God, and you say, "God, now you've shopped for all my needs. You've foreseen all my needs. Everything I'll ever need for my lifetime, you've shopped for it. You've got it all stored up somewhere. Now I want you to dispense it to me day by day." So that's a very, very loaded scripture. Now, let's ask ourselves this question. If you are that person, and you are that person that this scripture is talking about, you are that person, and I'm that person. God has gone shopping for our needs. He's seen our problems way ahead of time, our difficulties, our issues, our needs. And so to speak, quote unquote, not that God shops, but I'm just saying quote unquote to be able to get it across to you. You are that person and I'm that person. God has gone shopping for our needs, quote unquote, he's gone shopping, quote unquote, for all our needs. And he's got everything stored away somewhere. Everything you need for all your problems, all your difficulties, all your issues, God has it taken care of. He's got all his supplies stored away somewhere. Now, here's the question. If you run into a need, and here you are with your need, and there is a storehouse full of everything you need, but the only problem is that you can't unlock that storehouse. You can't get into that storehouse and reach out for what you need to take care of the problem. So the question now is, what really is your problem? Is your problem the need or the problem that you are facing? Or the real issue is to be able to get access to that store and take hold of what you need to take care of the problem. What's more important? I would say the real need is not really the need. The real need is how can you get into that storehouse that God has, where all your need has been taken care of and everything you'll ever need is in there. Everything you'll ever need is in there. The real problem that you really have is how to get into that storehouse, get a hold of your what you need and take care of the problem. So that's what Jesus Christ was saying to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha, you really have only one need because the problem has been taken care of in the storehouse. The answer is in the storehouse. Your real need is not really the problem that you are facing. Your real need is the word that will help you to get into the storehouse and unlock the provision. So that's why Jesus Christ said, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our bread for tomorrow. Give us day by day our bread for tomorrow. In other words, so that scripture is not really a prayer for the problem. It's a prayer for God's word that will unlock the provision for the needs of the day. So it's a prayer for the word that you need for the moment, day by day. And that's what fellowship is all about. The Bible says God has called us into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. And in that fellowship is where you hear God's word that will unlock God's grace for the issues you are going to face for the day. So that tells you that prayer is really a two-way thing. Prayer is not just talking to God. That's what Jesus Christ said in the beginning of this prayer when he was saying, when you pray, do not be like the Gentiles because they think that they will be heard because of their much speaking, because they're talking. He says, don't be like the Gentiles because the Gentiles, when they pray, they think it's by talking to God about the problem. By telling God the problem, they think God is going to be aware of the problem and then give them the answer. Jesus said, don't be like that because your Father knows that you have need of those things before you ask them. So prayer is not just talking to God about the problem. Prayer is communication with God. And that's what this scripture is saying. Give us day by day our bread for tomorrow. In other words, you are calling for the message. You are calling for the word for today. You are calling for that word that will unlock God's provision for the issues you are going to face for today. That's the bread for today. That's the Rhema word. That's the bread for today. So prayer is not just about, God, I have this problem, solve them. Prayer is hearing God's word for the issues you're going to face that day. He knows already what you're going to be going through. And he has a word that deals with that situation, that covers that situation, that covers that problem, that unlocks his grace for the day. So prayer is communication with God. Prayer is communion with God. It's speaking to God and hearing from God. And when you hear from God, you're hearing from God a word that's specific for your situation, specific for the day, is specific for the issues that you're going to be going through that day. So Jesus Christ said, give us day by day our bread for tomorrow. In other words, give us the word that unlocks the provision that meets the need that we're going to be facing today. That's really, really exciting. You see, that tells you prayer is a daily, fellowship with God is a daily, communion with God is a daily thing. You cannot live today on your communion with God yesterday. You cannot survive today on your communion with God 3 days ago, 4 days ago. Jesus Christ made prayer a daily habit. And that's the way we should live. We need to hear from God on a daily basis. And that's what that scripture is talking about. They give us day by day our bread for tomorrow. Give us day by day our bread for the future. You've gone shopping for our needs. We know the needs have been taken care of. We know the provision has been made. We know in God's storehouse, he's gone shopping. He's loaded into that storehouse. And when I say God's gone shopping, I want you to understand, I'm using it as an anthropomorphism. In other words, I'm using it as if God were a man and God is not a man. But I'm saying it in a way so that you can understand if you can grasp what I'm saying. So God, so to speak, is gone shopping for your needs. And then he's got that storehouse full of everything you'll ever need for your entire life, but he's going to dispense it day by day. As you commune with him, as you walk in fellowship with him, he's going to unlock it into your life. And the way he unlocks it is by his word to you every day. And that's what I refer to as God's Rhema word. This God's specific word to a specific person in a specific situation. And that's the word that unlocks his provision. That's what unlocks healing for your body. That's what unlocks soundness of mind. That's what unlocks deliverance from fear, worry, and anxiety. And that's what Martha needed. And that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was speaking, talking, and Martha was losing the importance of the moment because she was worried and troubled with many things. Jesus told her, all your problems can be simplified to just one thing, your need to hear from God. You see, you may be facing whatever issues you're going through today. You may be going through, you know, whatever problems you're going through. I've just simplified it. God has just simplified it to you, how you can get a hold of the answer. You need to come to God in fellowship and communion, and you need to hear what God is saying to you. But primarily, God speaks to us from the Bible, from the Word. So when I say hearing God's Rhema word, I don't want you to go thinking God's going to speak to you from in audible voices. No, that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about hearing from God through the scriptures, the word of God that is quickened to you from the scriptures. As you read the word of God, you depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you in his word. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into God's Rhema word. He will guide you into that word that will unlock the provision for whatever you're going through in the moment. Maybe sickness in your body. When you get God's word, it will unlock God's healing power into your physical body. That's what the word of God does. So I want us to go to Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 5. And then I want to say something to you from there. Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 5. Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 5. Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 5. And all the commandments which I commanded this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now that's the saying. That's the way God designed us to live. God never designed us to live on just material things. materialism is when we allow material things to take the place of spiritual things in our life. Jesus Christ said, God, the word of God, and Jesus Christ quoted this scripture on the mountain of temptation. He said, man shall not live, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now that's the rhema word. That's God designed you to live on his word. That's the word that comes from being in fellowship with God. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said, give us day by day our bread for tomorrow. Give us day by day our daily bread. That's the word for today. That's the word for the moment. That's the word that unlocks the provision for what I'm going through now. That's the word that will carry me through the day. That's the word by which I'm going to deal with the challenges for the day. So that comes by being in fellowship with God. And that's what the scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, here's the interesting thing. This word, this Hebrew word proceed means to measure. That's the meaning of that word. So Jesus Christ, that word, that scripture says, we can read it this way. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is measured out of the mouth of God. So God doesn't just talk carelessly. God, when he speaks, his word is always measured. His words are containers. They contain things. And when he speaks his word, it always carries his power. There's always a measure of God's power in his word, and that word carries that power into your situation. That's why it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is measured out of his mouth. When God is talking to you, his word to you is always measured. His word is measured to your circumstances. His word is measured to your life. It's measured to your spirit, measured to your soul, measured to your body. You know, when I was a I was joking with somebody recently. I said, I don't think we have tailors these days. I don't think they're into doing a lot of, there's a lot of business for them, because these days, most of the time we buy ready-made things. But when I was a child growing up, we used to go to tailors a lot. And, you know, your parents bought you the materials, they'll send you to the tailor, and the tailor will take your measurement. And he's going to take that material and he's going to use that measurement to design a garment for you, something for you that is specifically tailor-made for you. So that's measuring. When you're measuring, you're trying to tailor-make something for a specific person. So when God measures his word to you, that word is meant to get you to live the life that you were designed for. You see? So we call it designer clothes. When you wear designers, you get to a point where you have to really go to the designers. And that's what I mean. When you're going to the tailor actually takes your measurement and he's going to take that piece of fabric and design it specifically to fit you. So he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is measured out of the mouth of God. Because when that word comes to you, that word is measured and tailor-made to your needs. Can you see that? So it's tailor-made to your need for that moment. It's tailor-made for you, and that word is meant to frame your life and shape your life into the kind of person that God designed you to be. So that's the thing about communion with God. When you get into communion with God, you're hearing from God on a continual basis, and as God is speaking to you, his rhema word, that word is busy shaping you and forming you into the person that God created you and designed you to be. That's why you can never be the person that God created you and designed you to be outside of fellowship with God. It's not possible. The Bible says God has called us into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. You can't live the life that God created you and designed you to be without staying in that place of fellowship with God and hearing that word. Every word that proceeds, every word that is measured out, is measured. You know, the word is measured. And again, here's another interesting illustration for this word measurement. I'm an obstetric sonologist. I do a lot of obstetric scanning, and I'm always measuring. particularly the baby in the womb, always measuring. Every time I do an ultrasound, I'm always measuring, checking out things on that baby. And just as the mother is about to go into, is getting ready for childbirth, one of the things I'm interested in is the weight of that baby. I want to know how big that baby. So I'm always measuring. And the whole idea of doing that measurement is to create a picture in my mind of that baby. I'm trying to get a picture of my mind. And if I'm talking to another doctor somewhere else, I can transfer the picture in my mind of what I'm seeing to the other doctor in the other place with the measurements that I've taken. You see, so that's the thing about measurements. Measurements create pictures. So God's Rhema word, when it comes to you, the one thing that it does is to create an image in your mind that enables you to see yourself in that situation the way God sees you. And that's the key to victory. It creates an image. And in the midst of sickness, when you receive God's Rhema word about healing, you begin to see yourself healed. That's why I said, one word from God can turn your whole life around. One word from God can turn your whole life around. You can be at the very point of death, and one word from God will bring you back from death back to life. Because when you hear that word as it comes into your heart, that Rhema word is measured and tailor-made for you in that situation. It will turn your image of yourself and make you to start seeing yourself not just as a sick and dying person. All of a sudden, on the inside of you, you see yourself well. That's why I said one word from God can turn your whole life around. You see, and that's the importance of God's Rhema word. In the midst of poverty, when the Rhema word of God, when the word of God comes, as the Bible says that God is able to take beggars out of the dunghill and make them to sit with kings on the throne. Why, how is he able to do that? With his word. When he speaks in the midst of that beggarly situation, the man is scavenging. That's the meaning of that word, beggars. It actually means a scavenger. A man who lives from the dustbin, from what everybody else in the neighborhood has no use for. He goes there and scavenges. He said, but Bible says God is able to take a man from that garbage heap and make him sit with kings on the throne. Why? Why? Well, because of that word. The word that measured word, when it comes into his heart, it transforms his image of himself. And all of a sudden, this man that lived a beggarly life, all of a sudden begins to see himself as a king and that sits with other kings at the throne. So that's the power and the purpose of God's Rhema word. God's Rhema word is able to transform your inner image, your image of yourself, your vision of yourself. And finally, let me just give you this scripture in Hebrews 11. I'll read it to you from Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 3. Let me see if I can get that quickly. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But by it, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's interesting because it says that the world was framed by the word of God. I have another translation there in my library that says that the worlds were adjusting themselves to God's Rhema word, God's spoken word. You see that? And that's the power. That's how God transforms our lives. When he gives us that word, that's tailor-made for you, and you take that word yourself and you release it in your circumstances, the Bible says that the circumstances of your life, your world will start adjusting itself to the word of God. You know, I like this illustration that says that God cannot lie. If God says today is Thursday, right? If God says today is Friday, everything will automatically adjust themselves and make today Friday, because God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So God gives us his Rhema word. That Rhema word transforms our inner image. And when we release that Rhema word out of our mouth, our world, our own world and circumstances will begin to adjust themselves to that word that came, that comes out of our mouth. That's why it says that the words adjusted themselves to the word of God. It adjusted themselves to God's spoken word. They adjusted themselves to God's Rhema word. And here is the Old Testament illustration of it. You know, there was a time there was such a great famine in the land of Egypt, in the land of Israel. It was such a great famine that the Israelites began to they moved into cannibalism. Cannibalism began to take place in the nation. And there were these two kings. Two women. One of them said, "Let's kill your child and eat your child. And then tomorrow we'll kill my child and eat my child." And then they agreed. And when it was time for the other woman to kill their child and have the child cooked for food, she backed off from the agreement. And then the matter got to the king of Israel, who became so upset. He wanted to deal with Elijah, who was the prophet of the land at that time. They thought Elijah was the reason for the trouble. But Elijah gave a word to the king. He said, by this time tomorrow, there will be so much food in the land that the price of food is going to drop dramatically to a point where everybody could afford it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand how that could come to pass. It's quite an interesting story. I wish I could read it, but I don't have time. But anyway, God's Rhema word had gone out. God's word, God's spoken word had been released for that situation through the prophet of God. And now circumstances are about to adjust themselves for that word to come to pass. That's what Hebrews 11 verse 3 says. It says the words were adjusting themselves to the spoken word of God. God gave his word to the prophet. The prophet released the word over the situation. And now the circumstances were about to adjust themselves for that word to come to pass. And that's what happened. All of a sudden, the lepers just got up and said, what are we doing here? If we stay here, we're going to die. We go back to the city. There's no food there. That's where the food is, where the enemy is. Let's go there. If they kill us, that's okay. We're going to die anyway. And as they took that step into the enemy camp, the Bible says God made the enemy to hear a mighty sound, as if the sound of a mighty army. And they fled and left their horses. They left their chariots, they left their everything, they left the supply. And within a period of just a few hours, everything turned around in the nation for God's word to come to pass. And that's the power of God's reward. I want you to spend time with God. Your problems are not really the problem. I was listening to a friend of mine, Pastor Ken, some time ago, and he was talking about what he heard from another preacher who was teaching a congregation. I was asking them, the word of God, the word that you speak to God in prayer and the one that God speaks to you, which one is more important? And a lot of people in that congregation said, the one that we speak to God in prayer is more important than the word God speaks back to us. No. The word God speaks to you in prayer is far more important than the one you speak to him in prayer. That's why the Bible says, when you come to God in prayer, let your words be few. Because what you want to hear really in prayer is what God is saying to you about your situation, about your circumstances, about your problem, about your life. And that's the word that will turn everything around in your life. That's the word that when you release it, your circumstances will begin to adjust. I mean, it may look impossible what you're going through at the moment, but when you begin to release God's Rhema word into your situation will begin to adjust itself for that word to come to pass. So I'll end it there today. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you guys again. Thank you, Pastor Fola, for calling me in to talk to your church and to talk to the body of Christ everywhere. Really nice to be with you guys. And I look forward to being with you guys again. God bless you all.
Thank you so much, sir. Wow. You know, there's something I wrote here. And as we were speaking, I just believe my mind went to I think it's 2 Kings chapter 6, when there was the prophet and there was a servant, about God opening, I mean, our eyes opening, I mean, seeing what God is saying. You know, the story here is very interesting, and I'm still going to go and study it more. But I began to see here that what we really need, from what you said, is for us to begin to see this word of God and seeing ourselves in the word that God has Amen. Spoken.
Yes.
And I wrote this, that the word of God, actually, like, let's say I'm studying, right? I'm just studying the scriptures. The word of God becomes rhema when I can see myself in what God is saying.
That's right. That's right. When you start seeing yourself in the light of it, according to it, that is when it changes your situation and changes your circumstances. That's right.
Yeah. You know, that's why, and I began to. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and I just really began to pray that I pray that God, please, every time open my eyes, because this the servant and the prophet here, apparently, being the prophet, he had seen what the servant was not seeing, and of course, you know, about God surrounding us with
angels. That's right. Yeah,
with angels. The angels of the Lord encamp around the righteous. And right. His servant had not seen that. And he prayed for the servant, Lord, I pray, open his eyes.
Yeah.
Because the moment we begin to see what God has said or God is saying, it changes the circumstances.
Notice, Pastor Fola, that's when the servant moved from fear to faith. All along, he was in fear. He was operating in fear, and he was saying, alas, master, he didn't say, what shall we do? He knew what must be done. They had to escape from their life, for their life. He said, how shall we do it? He was operating in fear, but now, the moment he saw what God was showing him, he moved from fear to faith. And that's the power of the Rhema word. That's the power of God's word. When it causes you to start seeing yourself the way God sees you,
come on.
Then you move out of fear, you move into faith.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not talking about just hearing it with your physical ears, but hearing it on the inside until you start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Yeah. And when you start doing that, faith has come. Faith has come. Faith has come. Once faith comes, you just simply act out your faith, and the victory manifests.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So it's a powerful concept. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. You know, so we say the word to live also means to become. We become what God wants us to become by hearing His words, His Rhema word. And come as on. We see ourselves the way God sees us, we become more and more what we are seeing. So that's what I call. That's what I call effortless change.
To someone who is probably experiencing symptoms, sickness, and that's the reality they're in at the moment, how can they see themselves healed?
Well, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe. To observe you is to see it with your eyes. So by meditating in scriptures, when we meditate in scripture, when we take the word of God and roll it over and over again, trusting in the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, the light of it begins to shine on the inside of us. And that's when we start seeing ourselves according to that scripture. So I believe that's what that scripture says. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. When you're meditating on it, you are chewing it, you are regurgitating it, you are rolling it over and over in your mind, you are muttering it to yourself and saying it to yourself over and over again. When you do that, the image in that scripture is transferred out of the mind of God into your own mind. And that's when you begin to see yourself according to that scripture. And that's when the power in that scripture is released into your circumstances. You know, it's powerful. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need to stay in that place, seeing,
yes,
meditating, because it says, yes, day and night. Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Here is a scripture I want. I think, let me go to James 1. I think it's James 1:26. Let me just check it. Yeah, James 1 verse 21. Let me read from 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, that word deceive means to miscalculate.
Miscalculate. Wow.
Yeah, it means to miscalculate. Now, I always illustrate this point this way, that if you go, if you are counting one, I hope we're not taking too much time. I'll quickly illustrate this.
Yeah, if please saying, do, because we have a question too. Somebody's put a question on which we will love you to address. Yes.
So if you are counting 1 to 10, and somewhere in your mind, the number 5 does not exist. So you count 1, 2, 3, 4, and you skip 5, and you go to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So in your mind, for some reason, the number 5 does not exist. Right? That's the meaning of this scripture that James is talking about. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, miscalculating. So there's something there that's missing. So if you're counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, you miss 5. In your mind now, 5 does not exist. You go to 6, 7. Mm-hmm. Now you go to a shop and you find something that costs £50. You guys in Britain use pounds, or in the US, $50. Or here in South Africa, we say 50 rands. So in your mind, there's no 5, right? Mm-hmm. So it will be 0000 pounds. So you get you pick up that piece of item because you think it's going for zero. It costs nothing. So in your mind, something that is £50, because you don't see 5, is 0. So you pick that piece of that item and you walk out of the shop with it. What are you now?
A thief.
Shoplifting. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, a shoplifter. You just picked up something, you walk out of a shop, and then you're arrested for shoplifting, thrown into jail. And let's say for some reason the pastor of your church, wherever, we all pull all the strings, get you out of jail, back again to the streets, back to the shop. And then again, back into the shop, you see another item going for £500, and in your mind, there's no 5. So it's in your mind is 0000. You pick that item again, walk out of the shop innocently, you're arrested again for shoplifting. Right? So now you're a repeat offender, isn't it? Now you're a repeat, because every time you get into jail, the community is able to work hard, get you out of jail, but right back again, you do back again to the shop, shoplifting again, back into jail. So that's what this scripture is saying. There are some problems miracles will not solve in your life. Miracle is a temporary fix. The permanent fix is to get into your mind. Yeah, like Pastor Folana, if that person or a member of your church, you get tired getting that guy out of jail. You've got to find a way to get into that guy's mind and fix that problem. Hmm. You've got to put that number five in his mind. That's when the problem will be permanently solved. Right? He's got to be able to see that number five.
Come on, Lord.
And when he sees that number five, boom, he's no longer a shoplifter. He's transformed from being a shoplifter to a responsible citizen of the country, a responsible, and everybody going, this guy was a repeat offender. What happened? No, he's now seeing the number five. So now, if you look at the next scripture, that's what that scripture is talking about.
Deceiving.
Verse 25. Let's go to verse 25. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed therein. So that's scripture that says he continuing therein. It means to see yourself in it. So the problem, so now you've got into the mind of this guy. He wasn't seeing that five. Now you enabled him to start seeing that number five. And by seeing that number five, boom, you've transformed his life. He's no longer a shoplifter. The guy gets into the shop is like any normal person, any responsible person that gets into the shop. He sees anything worth £50, he goes to the till, pays for it. That's the meaning of that word. That's what the word of God does for us, transforms us from inside out by enabling us to see ourselves the way God sees us and brings effortless transformation.
Hallelujah. Wow.
Yeah, so that's
prayer.
We think many times that miracles are just a temporary fix. It's just to get you out of the pressure of the moment. Miracles are really not a permanent solution. The thing that brings permanent answers to the problems of life is renewing of the mind through the word of God. That's why the greatest ministry, the greatest thing you can do for your church, Pastor Fola, is to teach them. Because it's teaching, is the teaching of the word of God, the explanation of God's word that launches people into this dimension that we are talking about.
Hallelujah. And that was the difference between Moses and the children of Israel.
Exactly.
They just saw miracles, but they didn't understand his ways.
That's right. That's right. The Bible says that he showed to Moses his ways, but to the children of Israel, his acts. And that's why every time they ran into a difficult situation, they grumbled, they mumbled, they quarreled, they fought Moses, they got right back into trouble. Just one moment, God worked a miracle for them. Now give them the next challenge, then they slip back into the same old habits.
That's right.
Of complaining, murmuring, and that's the reason why they couldn't make it into the promised land, because God showed them his acts. All they were seeing were the acts of God, the miracles of God, all this stuff. But they were repeat offenders because the word of God had not gotten into their mind to transform their mind to become the kind of persons that God wants them to be.
Hallelujah. I will ask you, please, to just pray. I just sense that God, to just begin to open our eyes to see what God is saying. Like Habakkuk, he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch. Amen. And I will watch to see what he will say.
Did you see what you just said? It didn't say I will watch to hear what God will say.
That's right.
I will see what God is saying.
That's
because
right.
It's when you see it that it changes everything.
There's a question, sir. It says, can you please give an example to help us understand when it is circumstances, situations that unknowingly drives our actions and decisions instead of living from a place of quiet trust in God for guidance and direction?
Most people are need-driven. They are driven and dominated by their circumstances. Most people are driven and dominated. And that was what Martha was doing. Martha was living under the need, was dominated by the circumstances. But by listening to God's word, we can live from a place where we live by choice. We live according to God's design. We live according to the decision we live to we've made to act on the word of God. And if you talk about examples, the Bible is full of examples of how people who lived dominated by circumstances. The children, we're just talking about the children of Israel, for example. What caused the children of Israel not to enter into the land of Canaan? It was because they were dominated by the problems in the desert. It was the circumstances in the desert that governed what they said, how they acted in every situation. That's what dominated how they saw themselves, dominated what they said, dominated how they acted, and boom, they could not enter into the land of Israel. But we have two men, Joshua and Caleb, who held fast to their confession and wouldn't allow themselves to be dominated by the circumstances, and they made it into the promised land. So that's just a quick example. But, you know, as you read the word of God, you see examples over and over and over again. So let's make up our mind to be those kind of people, not to be. Let's live our life from a position of God's word. Choose to hear God. Begin every day meditating on the word of God. It's not easy. I mean, it's not an easy way to live. I mean, to move out of the worry zone into the carefree zone, where God's word governs the way you think, governs the way you speak. But it's a decision we have.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm very conscious of your time also, because I know you've got another meeting.
We pray that God will open people's eyes all over the world.
Amen.
To receive the message, and God is calling us into fellowship. You know, the Bible talks about, and you know, that's what we're praying at the beginning of this meeting, that God will use us and use this message to prepare a people ready for His coming.
Yes, Lord.
A people ready for His coming are the people that hear from Him on a daily basis and live according to His word. Elijah prayed a very simple. Elijah at the confrontation with the gods, he prayed a very simple prayer. I say, God, when he had told them, pour water on the sacrifice, pour water on the sacrifice, and they poured and poured until the whole place was overflowing with water. He just prayed a simple prayer. I say, Father, let them now know that I've done everything at your word. That was the secret of Elijah's power. He heard from God on a daily basis. And I pray that we'll be that kind of a people. You know, as I was preparing for this today, you know, I was saying, and that was what I told my wife. I said, look, the message I'm going to be preaching today is actually a message for me. Because it makes me to realize that what I consider as a problem is not really the problem. That problem has been taken care of in the covenant. It's been taken care of. God's already gone shopping for that problem. The answer is locked out there in the storehouse. What I need is the word that unlocks the provision.
Yes, Lord.
What I need is the word of God that unlocks God's grace, that unlocks the provision or whatever it is that I'm going through. That's what I need more than anything else. What I consider the problem is not really the problem. What most people consider the problem is life is not really the problem. You think your problem is really financial. It's not really financial. Your problem really is ignorance of God's word.
Come on.
Lord. Your problem really is that you're not seeing yourself the way God sees you. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has entered into the heavens as a foreigner. You know what a foreigner is? When you have a relative, you have a relative, what do you do? What do you do with the fastest person in the relative? What does he do? We say that the entire relative is anchored to that man. Is anchored to that man. Why? Because that's the guy that gives everybody a head start.
That's right.
That's what Jesus Christ did for us at the right hand side of God. He's giving us a head start. So most of us, we are operating in faith from a position that we are coming from behind to catch up. No, at the right hand side of God, Jesus has already given us a head start. In actual reality, you are ahead of the problem.
Come on.
You are not the sick person trying to become healed. In Christ Jesus, you are the healed person whom Satan is trying to drag back into sickness. And I was preparing for that. I've been knowing this, but God called my attention back to it again. He said, as long as you think that faith is to catch up, you will always be trying to play catch up. Jesus Christ is the forerunner. He's already given us a head start over the problems of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're already ahead of that financial problem that you are going through. In Christ, that you're talking about in Christ now.
Yes.
From a natural perspective, you may be falling behind in your payments, but in Christ, you already got a head start. That's why he calls him the forerunner. He's already giving you a head start over that problem.
It's now to get the word.
Yeah, that's right. Not he's already giving you a head start over that sickness that you're going through. You're going through sickness. You may be at the point of death. Doctors may have handed you a death certificate or a diagnosis of death. Doctors may have said, no, you're going to die in a couple of days or a couple of weeks or months. That's the doctor's diagnosis. But in Christ Jesus, you're already having a head start over that problem.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has entered into the presence of God to give you a head start over sickness and disease. So when you go and start dealing with that problem from the perspective of Jesus, you're actually starting ahead of the problem. You're already ahead of that sickness. Hallelujah. And that's the way God sees you, and that's the way God sees me. He doesn't see me behind the problem. He sees you ahead already. Now, let me put it this way. You are not the sick person trying to get healed. You are the healed in Christ, and the devil is trying to drag you back into a life of sickness. I hope you get it. I hope everybody, I pray that everybody in the world gets it. But that's the reality of who we are in Christ. And that's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I am.
Pray. Strong.
Yeah, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am.
Rich.
That's what the word of God says. Let the sick say, I am healed in Christ Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. So that's why Paul prayed that I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Revelation.
He wasn't saying God heal this man. He says, give him wisdom and understanding so that he will know what is already happening to him in Christ Jesus. I pray that people will catch on to it. But it makes a whole lot of difference when I know that Christ has already given me. I remember very well during the pandemic, that was one thing God kept reminding me over and over and over again. To always see that in Christ, I have the advantage. In Christ, I am ahead. In Christ, I'm right in front of this situation. And that was the one word that God gave to me all the time in the midst of, this was a period of great fear on planet Earth, but I just That's kept right. having it in my heart. The Lord kept reminding me and say, you have to look at it in a situation that you are not coming from behind. You are already ahead in Christ Jesus. God was already seeing that pandemic over.
That's right.
While we were still going through it. Amen.
Amen. Amen, sir.
So we pray that the Lord give people everywhere a spirit of wisdom. Father God, I pray over this message right now that as many as have heard it, that they will receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus.
Amen.
That the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they will know the hope of their calling, the riches Amen. Of the glory of their inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of the power of God that works. Let the body of Christ rise and know that in Christ Jesus, we're not coming from behind. We're already ahead.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's begin to see ourselves, Heavenly Father, from a heavenly perspective, that in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We already have the victory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Those of
Amen.
You that are sick in your bodies, I want you to know that by the stripe of Jesus, you are healed.
Yes, Lord.
You're having a cancer somewhere. There's somebody out there that's listening to me that's struggling with a cancer. You got a diagnosis from the doctor. I want you to know in Jesus' name, you are healed of that condition in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, that Amen. Tumor is gone.
Amen.
And you see yourself healed according to the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Expect that situation of indebtedness to be turned around.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God is going to send people to you. You there that is struggling with debts, expect God's supernatural provision to manifest.
Amen.
God will send somebody to you that will bring help to you.
Amen.
Help you with those bills.
Amen.
And then you'll be out of that situation in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. I want that situation of divorce, that situation of that marital difficulty in that home to turn around in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Christ is your peace in that family, that situation that is deteriorating so fast in that family. Christ is your peace. I want you to see that. Jesus Christ is your peace in that marriage.
Amen.
And his presence puts you ahead of that strife situation in that marriage. That situation of disorder in Jesus' mighty name. And there's somebody whose child has mental health issues. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we cause that mental health problem to disappear, to dematerialize.
Amen.
Mighty name of Amen. Jesus Christ. We command healing to come forth.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Blessed be God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Blessed be God. God's healing power, God's healing power is flowing into homes right now by the power of the spoken word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Right now. Right now. Right now.
Amen.
Right now. Right now. Thyroid gland issues. Thyroid gland. Thyroid gland issues. We curse it in Jesus' mighty name. Be gone.
Amen. Amen.
Call forth your testimony. Give us your testimony. Call forth your testimony. Share your testimony. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
We give you worship. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Drug addiction.
Amen.
For Jesus. You that is going through issues of drug addiction, we cause that habit to die out of your life right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
That issue of drugs, we command it to wither. I command it to wither. I declare a famine on that habit right now.
Amen.
I declare, just as Elijah declared a famine in the land of Israel, by
Thank
the spoken
Jesus.
Word, I declare a famine over that drug habit right now. And I command it to wither in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And all desires for that condition, for that drug, to disappear from that man. From that man.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be God. We call for the testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and we thank you, Father, for it. And we give you the glory and all the honor and all the adoration for all these healings that have taken place in this home.
Yes.
By the power of your rhema word and your spoken word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That little boy that was born with a congenital deformity, in Jesus' mighty name, we command that deformity to go.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We command that deformity to go. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
We call for the power of God to destroy hydrocephalus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Cause that brain to shrink back to normal in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we give you glory, give you all the praise, and give you all the worship. I thank you, Father, for it. And I bless you for it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We thank God. Expect those testimonies to come forth.
And yes. Receive it, Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Amen. And Father, we just thank you. Be it unto every one of us according to your word.
Amen.
According to the word. So be it.
Hallelujah. Amen. According to the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We give him praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just sense the word of the Lord bubbling up on the inside of me, and I thought, let me let it go.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Testimonies to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The fear is gone in Jesus' mighty name. If you're bound in this fear, we command that fear to go, to dematerialize and be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.